Welcome back to Gracie Meets. One of the most used statistics in sports is that 90% of an athlete's performance is mental. The problem is that 100% of practice is spent working on the physical aspects related to their sport. To help put this into perspective, you can take the rise and fall of Tiger Woods. He was a great golfer, but then some problems popped up in his life which caused him to not focus on golf. Those problems ended up being the downfall of his pro golfer career. To talk about the mental aspects of sports, I invited Ms. Adrienne Langelier, a sports counselor. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
I'm Adrienne Langelier. I am a licensed professional counselor and sports psychology consultant. I'm based in the Houston area and College Station areas in Texas. And besides that, I am a runner, traveler, dog lover, native Texan, fighting Texas Aggie, class of 2007. I'm a lot of things.
How would you describe your job to a teenager? Like if a teenager walked up to you and asked, how would you describe it?
I would say it's awesome. Yes, it is awesome, but a little bit more broadly is I help people on the continuum of mental health through peak performance. So you don't have to be struggling to come work with me, but my job is to take a good person and help them become even better by learning some tools and strategies to manage your mind better and cope with daily stressors, whatever that is. A lot of times it lends towards sports performance, but not always. Sometimes we're just trying to just help the individual just, kind of reach their potential and cope better. So every case looks a little bit different.
So what does a typical day in your office look like?
Okay, well, I usually arrive at about 9 or 10 after I work out. And normally I like to allow a little bit of time beforehand to answer emails, finish up some progress notes, return calls. Sometimes I just like to relax and sip some coffee for a little bit and settle in. And then I usually, like today, I will be seeing clients from about noon to 6. Normally I like to give myself a little bit of a break, kind of forgot today, but my clientele varies from, just kind of your typical high school student through elite athletes. And at my College Station office, I see more adults as well. See a lot of faculty members at the universities and everything like that. But we work on various topics, and I will be doing, I think it's about 50-50 still because of the pandemic. I will be doing some Zoom calls and some in-person meetings. And I think I've got a volleyball player coming in, a wrestler. What else am I seeing? A former swimmer. I mean, we've got, all kinds of different backgrounds, and that's kind of what makes it cool. So I usually finish up at about 6 or 7 on most weeknights. I try to take a little bit of time off here and there. But we come in and usually I'm pretty busy. And on a day where I'm not as heavy with clients, I do a fair amount of writing. I write for a website or two. I'll do whatever article is due that month. I'll work on that or some admin tasks. Again, some notes, emails. I communicate a lot in this job.
So I'm looking around your office right now, and I know that the listeners can't see your office because it is a podcast. There is a lot of Olympians I can see, or like going to the Olympic trials. So who all have you helped?
Okay. I can't specify who because of the ethical code, but what I can tell you is something that is, this is one of the coolest parts of my job, is watching people who are kind of on the edge of the next level give everything they have in pursuit of their goals. So given that it's 2020 and this is supposed to be an Olympic year, I was working pretty heavily with some athletes, mostly in the swim world. That's where I got my start, actually. I'm not a swimmer, I'm a runner. But I you know, see a lot of swimmers just because of the demands of the sport is I help people prep to qualify or prep to compete in Olympic trials events. But we'll all have our day in 2021, and I'm excited.
What do you think makes your job unique? What makes it not a normal job?
What makes it not an, oh gosh, almost everything. Well, I'm in private practice, and right now I don't have a staff. It's just me. So I work a lot. I think it's just the sheer range of people that I get to help and kind of the sheer range of topics that I get to cover. You know, we may be talking about anxiety and depression one day to, okay, the Olympic trials just got postponed. What are we going to do about that? And it does require a certain degree of flexibility, and you have to constantly be learning. But I think it's like I get to, you know, every day learn about people. You know, hopefully my clients learn from me as well, is I get to watch people grow on a daily basis. And I think that's really, really cool.
That's cool. Yeah. What kind of schooling or, well, there's probably schooling that goes into this because
a bit.
It's like a medical job.
Yeah, somewhere, you know, to my cluttered wall, we've got a couple pieces of paper that I had to go get.
So what kind of schooling was it?
Okay, I have a Bachelor of Science in psychology. Obviously, a bachelor's degree in some sort of psychological or social sciences will set you up really well. Kinesiology or exercise science majors can also be a fit for a position like this, especially with, you know, working with people of athletic backgrounds. But you need to learn counseling skills. So I have a master's degree in clinical psychology, and I think that has given me a lot of flexibility because a lot of times when we see issues with performance, it's manifesting in the performance of the athlete, but they may be struggling with something personal, psychological, and we have to address that first before we can even touch, okay, what's happening on the field, the pool, the court, you know, whatever it is with that respective sport. So I have a master's degree, and I also completed some coursework additionally to that master's degree to become a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas. So I think I was in school about 2.5-3 years total, post-bachelor's, and I was able to sit for my licensing exam. Oh, so scary. That was such a nerve-wracking situation, because I was just like, okay, this test determines if I work or not. So kind of had to apply some of the mental skills that I teach people in that situation, but sit for that. And it is a 1,500-hour internship under a experienced professional. They're called licensed professional counselor supervisors. I had a really great one, and, you know, you're still working, but you're learning under a supervisor for the 1,500 hours. It takes about 1.5-2 years. Then you're able to apply for full licensure. So it was, you know, a journey roughly of, you know, counting college. I mean, we're looking at 7-8 years. But I think it needs to be, because, I mean, we're working with humans of all kinds of backgrounds and experiences, and we got to really sharpen those skills and also become aware of ourselves, too, so that we can best serve those that come in.
That's a very long process.
It is, but it, believe it or not, it didn't seem to go by that slowly, because you're constantly, you know, you just have to focus on what portion of the journey that you're on. And because, I mean, during the internship, I mean, you're practicing. It's just you kind of have this nice little safety net of a supervisor, and you're kind of working under their license and not yours. So for me, that was kind of scary. I'm like, oh, God, I better not mess up. But yeah, I mean, it's long, but I can't say I'd change anything.
Well, is there any advice that you wish you had whenever you were starting this career?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think probably is just because I remember when I was younger, you know, what I wanted to do from day one when they put that piece of paper in my hand was I want to work in private practice. And I wish somebody would have told me that, okay, when you start out, your career is not going to look like your vision necessarily. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to do the work that you want to do eventually. There's just different steps, and it's kind of a process to where you get to a point where you're experienced and you have a client base and all that kind of stuff. Because that was kind of scary when I was younger. I was like, I wanted to work with athletes, and why am I doing this? But I was able to sharpen my counseling skills and learn more about the clinical piece. So when I was fully ready, I could marry the two and take my experience as an athlete and also, you know, be able to work with the whole person.
Yeah, I think that's good for teenagers to know because it takes time to get to where you want to be.
Yeah, and I think don't give up is the biggest thing is anything valuable career-wise, you don't want straight out of school. Is, you know, something you want to make sure that, you know, it's meaningful and everything like that, and you're really passionate about it. If you are passionate about what it is that you want to do, then the work involved really is not going to be a very big deal, and it's going to take care of itself.
What is your greatest achievement in this profession?
Oh, wow. Greatest achievement. I was looking at that when you sent me the notes, and I was just like, I don't know. Okay. I mean, watching athletes I consulted with in 2016 for the Rio Olympics, watching them just through my computer screen, watching them compete was really, really cool. And seeing, you know, everything we talked about for the year prior or whatever, you know, kind of come to fruition for them. And I'm not going to lie, like I was feeling nervous for them and everything watching it. So I think that's been, you know, probably one of the more rewarding things I've been a part of. And I think another achievement is just getting just being able to kind of work a little bit more on the national stage. I write articles for a website called Believe in the Run on the psychology of running. And I've been invited to speak at a handful of universities. And I spoke at the Southwest Athletic Trainers Conference, which that was really cool because I got flown out there. So having an all-expense-paid trip to go speak is, it's a neat experience. So I recommend it to anybody who wants to specialize in a profession. So that's a lot of different achievements, but that's the best I could answer that question.
Yeah, I mean, all achievements, like, they're pretty big, so.
Hey, I get to show up here and do what I like to do every day, so that in itself is an achievement.
And I mean, celebrate the little things.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you for letting me interview you. It was really fun.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Miss Adrian gave some great advice that teenagers nowadays really need to hear. It takes time to get to where you want to be, but it also takes hard work. In high-level athletics, competitors are always looking for the upper hand. Knowing a competitor isn't 100% mentally in the game could be a game changer. No normal person could be trusted with such critical information while trying to get an athlete refocused. But then again, show me a normal teenager. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. If you like Gracie Meets, subscribe so you can listen every time a new episode is dropped. And follow Gracie Meets on Instagram @gracie.meets. Tune in next Saturday for a creative interview with an artist.